Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A new documentary produced out of Davis is looking at the origins of American country music. If you talk about country music today, you might associate the genre with the rolling hills of America's heartland, quote-unquote traditional values, and perhaps even conservatism. However, this new film argues that country's music roots lies elsewhere as the creative expression of working people. The documentary is titled Open Country and will be screened this evening here in Sacramento at Cafe Colonial. Husband and wife filmmakers Jesse and Glenda Drew are the creative forces behind Open Country, and they join us now with more on their latest work and how tonight's screening will help commemorate a notable country musician here in Sacramento. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to see you in person. Yeah. Well, where did the love for filmmaking come from? Because the both of you are also UC Davis professors, correct?
Right.
So, Glenda, I'll start with you.
I guess my love of filmmaking came from a history of learning photography and wanting to do something beyond a single image. And then I got into kind of like slide tape productions and then onto film.
How did that intersect with country music?
Oh, well,
when did you get bit by the country music bug?
I listened to country music a lot in my house when I was a kid. My father was a truck driver, and it was the music in our house. And when Jesse and I met, we really bonded over love of country music, playing songs on jukeboxes and bars in San Francisco and things like that.
How about you, Jesse?
Well, I've been working in media for a long time, not just film, but print media and television and things like that. So it's really, for me, it's about communication. So I really like the whole field of communications, whatever form that takes, that is. And I do a lot of digital media stuff as well. So it's not just film specific, but this project just happened to develop from a film.
And does country music in your life go back as far as it did for Glenda as well?
Well, for me, this is one thing a lot of people don't know about me. I was a 15-year-old teenage runaway. And I did a lot of industrial work. I did a lot of farm work. And I realized that, you know, standing out in the middle of a field throwing bales of hay, that rock and roll just didn't speak to me anymore. And someone turned me on to this guy, Merle Haggard. And I kind of got into country at that point, because country music is really one of the only genres of music. It really addresses your work life.
Yeah, obviously, country music is popular today. There are music festivals for country music acts. But do you think the understanding of country music today, that there's that understanding of the roots of country music?
I don't think so. I think that in some festivals, like Harley Strictly Bluegrass in San Francisco, which is a festival in honor of Hazel Dickens, who is somebody we interviewed for our film, I think that people in that area have that sense that country music is far more than what's played on the radio. But I think that a lot of people don't know that, especially because of the control of the airwaves.
Yeah. Jesse, what do you think are the biggest misconceptions about country music?
Well, first, I think that people think country music, you have to be, you know, conservative to like country music. And if you look at the roots of country music, it's anything but that. And this project really came about because a lot of our students would come in talking about how they listen to country music, they like country music, and then we would listen to it. And it's like, I don't think that's really country music. It's really more like Nashville pop, and it's kind of how we describe it. And that's actually what I think kind of inspired us to kind of go back to the past and our roots and sort of bring up some of the real history of country music.
Right. Because, Glenda, I mean, you mentioned the Strictly Bluegrass Festival in San Francisco. I mean, you're talking about bluegrass or you're talking about folk music. And then you have country music. Sometimes people can think that these are in their own rooms, but that's not necessarily the case.
Right. And that is a case that our film makes, talking about the roots and all the musical influences as well. And when the word country even came about, which is much later in time.
Yeah, that's pretty new with us. I mean, relatively, when you're looking at our country's history. So when did country music become country music?
Well, strangely enough, country music was really invented in the late 40s, early 50s. And a lot of people think it goes way back before then. But if you look in the history of it, people didn't call themselves country musicians. Hank Williams is considered the father of country music, called himself a folk singer. So you have to wonder what happened. Where did this genre of country music? And we really trace it to the era of McCarthyism, when there was a very sort of strong upsurge in kind of a right-wing ideology, particularly in the culture industry, that wanted to separate the more political forms of folk music, the Woody Guthries, the Pete Seegers, from the more sort of traditional kind of patriotic kind of music, which they then called country music. We did a deep dive into a lot of the trade magazines, and you don't see them mention country music until the late 40s, early 50s, and even then it's very confusing. You'll see ads that say country music, and then in parentheses, formerly folk music. It's very, very an odd history. And so that's really where it comes from. I mean, and if you really look at it, there's really no difference between country music and folk music. Mm. And before folk music, it was generally called hillbilly.
That is fascinating. And I imagine, I mean, you both have a love for country music, but I would think doing this deep dive into this documentary, you must have learned so much about the origins of country music.
Yeah, a tremendous amount. I mean, we worked on this for so long, and now we like talk to each other in lyrics from our film. But yeah, I learned a tremendous amount.
And there's always new things being uncovered too, but at a certain point, we just had to say, okay, enough. We've got to just end this, wrap it up, put this film out. But there's more and more of these things that are coming out today, like, you know, lost recordings and clips of film that no one knew existed anymore.
And it released earlier this year, so you've gotten some audience feedback. What have been some of the most meaningful responses you've received so far?
Wow, it's tremendous.
Ken Burns looked at watched your documentary too, correct?
Yeah. Not through us, through a mutual friend, but wrote back to that mutual friend that he loved it. So that meant a really lot to us. And I think that what's really striking for me is the heartfelt gratitude people have after the film and emotional responses to the content, because I think it lifts people out of a culture that is corporately controlled and radios that, you know, are corporately controlled. And we love NPR and Cap Radio.
Well, we thank you for that. I would also think that the responses you receive from the audience, it may vary depending on the generation.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for older people really get it. I mean, when we look at some of the roots in the 50s and 60s, a lot of people, older people really love this film. And it's funny because a lot of people will sing along during moments of the film. And then for new people, it's really a revelation. For example, some of the people we interview in the film are people who are sort of specialists in punk rock and in hip hop. And they talk about the influence and the similarities that early country music had with punk and with hip hop, which is really, you know, grassroots form of music. And the way one person puts it, it's a music that you have to make rather than a music that you decide to make. So it's really music from the grassroots.
Well, that reminds me, I mean, just most notably this year of Beyonce, right, for dipping her toe into country music and the message that sends and also the controversy that surrounds it. Given that this also, you know, is happening at the time when you're looking into the deep roots of country music, what stands out to you about this recent event in pop culture, really?
Well, it's funny. Beyonce always comes up in every one of these. It's one of the first questions that people
really
ask. What do you think about Beyonce? And really, the answer is that anyone that thinks that black performers don't have a role in country music doesn't understand country music at all. Because one of the strong points that our film makes is that country music is deeply rooted in the musical traditions of the former slaves in the South. You know, one of the quintessential instruments is the banjo, which is an African instrument. So, yeah, I mean, black people have been at the heart of country music from the beginning. Hank Williams, one of the other people called the father of country music, learned to play guitar from a black man, as did Jimmy Rogers, the same thing. And so, you know, anyone who says that, you know, it's, you know, Beyonce shouldn't be making a country music album is absurd. Now, whether it's a good country music album, that's up to you. We don't have an opinion about that.
Yeah, because what I thought about was when you're talking about hip hop, you know, and you're talking about punk music as well. When you do listen to Beyonce's album, you know, you may listen to it and be like, oh, this doesn't sound like a traditional, quote unquote, country music album. But it does pull from hip hop, you know, and I think that is a larger message that as an artist, they're trying to convey, whether you like it or not, is up to, you know, your own ears and brain. Right.
Yeah, I think that's one of the misconceptions people have about country music is that it's this like pure form of music that somehow emerged from the hollers of West Virginia. It's actually a very cosmopolitan form of music. You know, the classic Nashville steel guitar, which we associate with Nashville, is a Hawaiian instrument. It comes from Hawaii. It was popularized by Hawaiian musicians when they went through the South. Yodeling. A lot of people talk about cowboy yodeling. Well, you think yodeling is Swiss. Well, it is Swiss because also and those, you know, through the South, they were very popular musical troops from Switzerland who would show yodeling. And people were like, oh, yeah, let's incorporate that into the music. So it's a very much evolving form of music. It's not just rooted in the past.
And people may not think California has, you know, some of its DNA into country music, but that's not necessarily true, right? It doesn't all come from Nashville, for example.
Yeah, right. So that's something that we look at also. I mean, in a previous version of our project, Jesse actually wrote a paper about that for Boom Magazine about the roots of country music being in California. And we look at that as part of the effect of Hollywood. Even before there were all of the radio stations and the barn dance radios, was Hollywood producing Western movies that then were, you know, seen by wide audiences.
What connections are there to Sacramento? Because this documentary also, you know, is a homage to someone who was a big force in the country music scene, and they're from Sacramento or the area.
Well, there's a few musicians that we have in the film from the area. But, you know, traditionally there have been a lot of country music musicians that have come out of Sacramento.
Yeah, so we're dedicating the tonight is a benefit for Aunt Molly Jackson, who actually was born in Kentucky, and she ends up in Sacramento, but she wrote some really amazing songs about coal miners, and she was part of the
United Mine Workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was one of the original, you know, miners' daughters, essentially. And her music has been recorded by Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, Lead Belly, et cetera, et cetera. And we feature her in the film. And one of the interesting things we found was we're curious, like, whatever happened to Aunt Molly Jackson? We found that she had actually moved to Sacramento, died in Sacramento, and she's buried in an unmarked grave in Sacramento. So the special event that we're doing tonight is actually to raise funds to buy her a memorial marker. I went after her gravesite, and it's just, you know, there's nothing there, which is like unbelievable because her music is performed by many musicians, and that's a really strong link that Sacramento has to that culture.
That's beautiful. What time is the event tonight?
So the event is at Cafe Colonial, and I should say that we have that is, you know, as we said, it's a benefit for the to buy a grave marker. There's opening music. Well, I should say all of our performances open with a live musical act from the area. So tonight that act is it's called Creme de Resistance. And it's a benefit for the Aunt Molly Jackson marker. It's sponsored by the Democratic Socialists of America. And so it starts, the doors open at 6:00. The show starts, the music starts at 6:15, the show starts at 6:45. But I have to say that we looked today and it is sold out. There may be tickets at the door because we did hold some tickets at the door, but there will be other screenings in the area.
And we have a link to that too because yeah, I know people are going to want to watch it after this.
If you go to our website, which is just opencountryfilm.com, all the screenings are there. We have another big show coming up in Nevada City, for example, where one of the key musicians we interviewed, Utah Phillips, lived in Nevada City.
Wonderful. And
yeah, he's going to be there.
Well, Glenda and Jesse, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Glenda and Jesse Drew are the filmmakers behind the new documentary, Open Country, which explores the working class origins of country music. We have more information on their screenings on our Insight page. And we're going to end the show with one of those songs, California Cotton Fields by Merle Haggard. That's it for Insight today. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.
My drifting memory goes back to the spring of 43, when I was just a child in Mama's arms. My daddy plowed the ground and prayed someday he could leave this rundown mortgaged Oklahoma farm. Well, then one night I heard my daddy saying to my mama that he'd finally saved enough to go. California was his dream, a paradise for he had seen pictures in magazines that told him so. California cotton fields, where labor camps were filled with worried men with broken dreams. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came. Almost everything we had was sold or left behind, from my daddy's plow to the fruit that mama canned. Some folks came to say farewell and see what all we had to sell. Some just came to shake my daddy's hand. Hey, the Model A was loaded down and California bound, and a change of look just 4 days away. But the only change that I remember seeing for my daddy was when his dark hair turned to silver gray. California cotton fields, where labor camps are filled with worried men with broken dreams. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came.